Awaken Your Alpha, Episode 9, AJ Roberts.
Many are still capable, but survive in an unchallenging environment. Within this comfy habitat, unfortunately, the majority have forgotten how to go out there and grab life by the balls. Which brings us to this point in evolution. Your expedition leader on this journey is my good friend, Adam Lewis Walker, whose mission is to discover those people who have managed to awaken their alpha, leading a life without limits. I must, however, warn you, he is not like me. We both speak English. Him, just not so well. He tends to say quality far too much. He becomes easily excited and must be exercised regularly. Anyway, apologies. Here he is.
A really exciting episode for you today, guys. We've got AJ Roberts on the line. And where do I start here? Right. AJ is originally from the UK. He moved over to America. He'll tell you exact details of that. Moved over to America. For me personally, what he's best known as, he was a powerlifting world record holder. He's been very successful in business. He's involved with the underground marketing and underground seminar, Yannick Silva. I mean, I really have to start picking things because he's done so well in so many areas. More recently, he turned his back on the powerlifting and he really got into CrossFit. And then he's moved across as well into physique competitions and bodybuilding and absolutely smashing that in a very short time. I've been lucky enough to bump into him at a few events just in passing. And then more recently, I managed to have a good old talk to him in the Shark Tank in Vegas. And hopefully that is why he's on my show today. We're going to have a little chat about just mindset and getting things. Once you get an idea in your head, just seeing it through and accomplishing it. I think I've talked far too much already, AJ. Would you like to add to that after I just asked you, are you ready to awaken your alpha?
No, man, I think you covered the bases. We can get into anything deeper if we need to. But yeah, you know, I go 100 miles an hour and pretty much whatever I want to do, I do. And I do it the best of my ability. I only know one speed and that's full speed. And I kind of live by the motto of, you know, what's the point in living if you're not living to your fullest? So, you know, that's how I've lived my life since I was young. And I'm not sure where it comes from. But I'm very driven, and I think that, you know, for most people, they have dreams, but for me, dreams become goals, goals become, you know, action items, and then that becomes reality. So it's been quite the journey, and I seem to be bouncing around, and I still seem to be bouncing around and figuring it all out. But, you know, like I said, if I'm going to do something, I go all out, and whether it's right or wrong, I give it everything.
Brilliant. I mean, am I going to take that as your alpha quote then? I quite like that.
No, I guess we could. We could for sure.
Unless you have any other ones that you'd like to supersede that. Or
we'll see. We'll see what comes.
Okay, okay. I mentioned we're going to talk about, I think we could literally, when it comes to being the alpha, we could focus on body, we could focus on business, we could focus on balance, we could focus on belief, mindset, which I think we're going to sort of lean towards, but we'll see where the interview takes us. Could we find out a little bit more about your alpha origin, your backstory? Because at the end of the day, you come from a similar area to me, and you're in California, down in San Diego. It's nice there. How did you come from here to there?
Yeah, that's actually a great story. It's very strange. A lot of people, when I go back and tell them, because you know, now being a bodybuilder and former powerlifter, you know, I was 320 pounds as a powerlifter and now walk around 250 pounds as a bodybuilder. And you have to do the conversions if you're listening to this, if you're from the UK in the stone, or if you're overseas in the kilograms, because I don't know that stuff anymore. But I got started young in the sport of basketball. I don't know why. I have some relatives over here in America who visited, and my cousins, they were collegiate basketball players, two girls, fascinated with basketball. But if I look back and I look at why the fascination with basketball, I was never really that great at football or soccer. for me, I'm very calculated in what I do. I don't want to do something if I'm not going to be good at it. So I, at a young age, I realized like I wasn't that great at football, and I was always looking for something else to do.
Yep.
And then your basketball came around, and I was pretty good at it. I ended up – I played for Southampton Trailblazers, and then I moved – well, didn't move, but I went and traveled and played for Thames Valley Tigers. And from there, I actually came to America. I played for England. I made the England squad, was on the England squad for a while.
I did not know any of this, man.
Yeah, well, there you go. I learned something.
What position did you play?
So I moved – so at 12 years old, I was exactly the same height I am now. I was 5'11". Wow. So I moved from a five-man all the way to the point guard, which gave me an advantage in the sense that I understood the court in every position. So as a point guard, I was very good at seeing the floor. And then I came over to America to hopefully, you know, get a college scholarship and go on, and played 1 year over here and did well. And then my second year, I was actually not allowed to play again in Oregon. Well, actually, I think in most states, they have a one-year international foreign exchange rule put into place purely to stop recruitment and things like that from overseas. Yeah. And for me, we tried to get around it. You know, my parents signed legal guardianship over and things like that, but it just didn't happen. So I ended up playing sports that were not governed by the Oregon school board. And that ended up being, I bowled. So I was on the bowling team, and we made it to state in the bowling team. And then I started beginning powerlifting, because when I moved to America, weightlifting was such an integrated part of sports. And I ended up in a really small town, Ione, Oregon. So most children were three sport athletes. And I played American football, basketball, and then did track and field. And so I was a three sport athlete, but basketball was my passion. But the weightlifting came through that. And I grew up watching Strongman and watching the World's Strongest Man on TV. I was a big fan of it. I was always fascinated by big muscle. I always wanted to be big and muscular. And I actually had, when I lived in England, I bought a bench press and some of those clay weights, York bench press. It was in my bedroom.
With the sand in them, yeah.
And that was in my bedroom. And I had no idea what I was doing, but I would always lift. So while I wasn't able to play sports and stuff, I started assisting coaches. I guess water boy would be an appropriate title. But I essentially, for the football, you know, I was there, part of the team. For basketball, I was there, part of the team. But I was never shy in my opinion, and I almost was another coach on the team, and was a big passion of mine then. In terms of the lifting, you know, it turned out that there was powerlifting, and I had no idea that this was a sport. And I always thought I'd go in a World's Strongest Man. Then I found the powerlifting, and I was pretty strong. By the end of my school career, I had every single record there was. That's when I realized I was pretty strong. I qualified for a World Championships that year.
That is freaky strength.
went and won the Deadlift World Championships as a teenager, and then basically continued on with that. The journey really starts with the move.
I was going to ask you, what was like your awakening moment? When do you think it all started to change for you?
I never understood it really until recently, because I just am an action taker, and I haven't really gone back and looked at what happened to get there, because I just keep moving forward. What I noticed was whenever I want to do something, I literally just implant myself in the situation of success. So when I wanted to play basketball, my goal, you know, my thought process was I'm going to play in the NBA. There was never any doubt in my mind that I would end up as an NBA player. And so that's why at 16 years of age, I'm made the leap of faith and left my home and left everything and came to America. When I got into the powerlifting in college, Brent Mikesell was a world record holder. He lived about an hour and a half from me. Twice a week I would drive up. So, an hour and a half to drive there and train with him, an hour and a half to come back. And I just did that. After college, I moved to Kentucky to run a health club. And Westside Barbell, which is the strongest gym in the world, is 4 hours away. So I would every Friday drive 4 hours there, 4 hours back. Whoa. Eventually moved to Westside Barbell, you know, became the world record holder at Westside. And then when I was ready to be done with powerlifting, and we can get into that if we have time, but when I was ready to be done with powerlifting and I wanted to focus on business, I was like, where is everyone in the industry that I want to be in located? And it was basically Florida, Austin, or San Diego.
Yeah.
And I was always had a love affair with San Diego. I'd come here on vacation pretty much every year since I was 16. And so I picked San Diego. San Diego, and I literally just implant myself in the place I need to be. Of course, if you look at that too, while I was doing that, I'm essentially attaching myself to mentors who can guide me and lead me, who have already done it with someone or done it themselves. And I take the same approach that, you know, that's my athletic career. So now going into bodybuilding, I hired a nutritionist. I hire someone to help me with my training, even though I'm a world-renowned strength and conditioning coach.
Yep.
You know, I still understand that I'm new to the sport of bodybuilding, and I could try to figure it all out, or I could work with someone who has the same belief system and principles as I do, but has put it into the sport of bodybuilding in the positions of success. So I find where I need to go to be successful, and then find the people who are going to help me be successful. And it doesn't matter to me what anyone else thinks or what anyone else says. As long as I believe it and I have unbreakable belief in myself, I know that eventually everything is going to come through, because my life has continually been that. And the only thing that I say is, you can do whatever you want if you're willing to sacrifice whatever it takes. And that was where, with CrossFit, when I got into CrossFit, my goal with CrossFit was legitimately to be a competitive CrossFit athlete and compete in the CrossFit Games. But after doing it for a year, when I sat back and evaluated what I needed to do in order to go to that next level, there was a realization that I wasn't willing to do whatever it took, because if you look at most of the CrossFit athletes who are competitive in the Games, they either own or run their own CrossFit facilities. Therefore, they're in the gym pretty much all day long, and they're able to train multiple times. And here I am, 29 years of age, retired from powerlifting, already been the best at one sport, overweight compared to the CrossFit athletes. You know, I was still about 247 pounds, I think, was my lightest while I was doing CrossFit, where most athletes are 180 to 200. So I still had a long way to go there. And, you know, traveling around the world, teaching these seminars, you know, running a successful marketing company. And I looked at it and I said, you know, I'd have to give up 90% of what I'm doing in order to achieve this goal. And it wasn't something that I was willing to do. And that's when I look and reevaluate and set new goals. So it's not necessarily about always achieving the goals you set out to do, but understanding that if you want to, it's possible. And you just have to do whatever it takes. But sometimes those things are not things you're willing to do. It's okay to decide that you don't want what you originally set out. It's okay to decide, like, you don't want to be the very best because you don't want to sacrifice, you know, free time or family or things like that. Now, when I was powerlifting, I pretty much sacrificed everything in order to become the world record holder. And people say to me, looking back, would you do it again? And it's like, if I know what I knew now, I wouldn't do it in the way, but the reason I was who I was is because I didn't know what I know now. Most people, the problem is when it comes down to the, you know, when it goes to the, back to the simple decision, they decide that it's not really what they want. And they do that in either delaying, delaying starting, or procrastinating, or creating excuses about why they couldn't do this, or they couldn't do that, or why they can't go to this seminar, or they can't fly, and, you know, that's in America, I can't go. And I know you've traveled a lot, and it's very different mentality, but a lot of people don't understand that. And I think that that's the biggest difference, is just the understanding that you really do have the ability to do whatever you want, and it's really not as hard as people make out. And the reason it's not as hard is you're playing the game on your own.
Yeah,
there's not many people who are willing to step up. So you're actually playing the game on your own. There's very few people in competition.
Yeah, I think it's important, AJ, as well, like you said, about finding mentors or trainers that you share beliefs with and different things. And it's really, for me, it's important what we're doing here as well, is finding inspiring people so people can connect with them and see likeness in themselves. I mean, straight away, I made assumptions about you before I properly met you. And then I heard a little twang in your voice. I assumed you weren't from England. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're from the UK. You're from down south in the UK. Same as me. What are you doing over here? You can't do this. So that, I mean, for me, little things like that, it's just inspiring to see, you know, where you've come from and where you've gone. And hearing your journey, it's easy straight away as well to forget. We're just talking about your sporting journey and performance on that area. Could you tell us a little bit more about, because I know about it, but a little bit more about your successes in business, because we almost skirted right past that because it's been so interesting. Could we have a little, like, a sum up of what you're currently doing and some of the successes you've had recently?
Yeah. So I realized that in order to be able to do what I wanted to do, I had to have an income to be able to support that, because the sport of powerlifting is not a rich sport. And even at my highest, it didn't pay even a part-time wage. So I remember it was actually Eric Cressy who got me into the business side of things, because I saw what he was doing while I was in college. I saw what he was doing. I reached out to him and said, hey, you know, I see you got these DVDs and these manuals and all of this stuff. And it was very fascinating to me. And he was making, you know, selling it online. And that was the beginning of it. And I went to a Ryan Lee boot camp. And when I was at that boot camp, I had a weird feeling. I didn't associate myself with the audience. And I don't mean in terms of like, oh, I'm better than them, but I wanted to be on that stage. Mm. And so I wanted to know the speakers.
What year was that, AJ?
Man, this was probably back in 2004.
Oh man, one of the early ones.
It was like the very first one. And so, but I had this realization that I want to be on that stage, so I need to talk to the speakers. So that was my mission during that seminar, was to be, learn how to be the guy on stage. And so, you know, looking back now, and I'm, you know, speaking in front of, you know, 500 audiences of 500 plus people, it's crazy, because I had that thought process from the very beginning. And I see people in the audience that I saw in the audience at that first seminar, and they're still in the audience. And, you know, I assume they're doing well, but there's a different mentality. But from there, I realized that, you know, I could make a living, you know, with the personal training. And I, because I was trying to be a, at the time in college, I thought I wanted to go into the strength and conditioning industry. But when I found out the money they made and how, and how the, how it operates, it's a very, you know, old boys club. And it's who you know, and you your job security is very, very thin in the collegiate sports over here. Head coach gets fired, strength and conditioning coach gets fired.
And you're definitely trading hours for dollars as well.
Right. And so I looked at it, I said, you know what, I'm just going to go into the private sector and open a facility. I had a friend who had a kind of a warehouse gym. I was training people out of there, but I wasn't doing very well. And then that led me to Pat and Nick of the Fitness Consulting Group. And I reached out to them in order to hire them to consult with me and to help me build my business. And instead, I ended up moving to Kentucky to run their health club. And I actually moved to run their personal training department. Within a few months, I was running the entire health club. But I was only there for a short period of time of 8 months in the actual health club. Because when we were there, I started learning the marketing side of things. And then I started helping them with their fitness consulting group. And at first it was just helping them get things online. I started as a tech, and I took one computer college class in college, and they would say to me, hey, do you know how to do this? And I'd say, absolutely. And then I'd go away and learn it, and I would implement it. But after a while, my marketing chops got in there, and I started working with them on their marketing, and we were coming up with these elaborate plans online, and we were making, you know, we were doing very, very well and helping a lot of personal trainers. And that started to attract trainers who had businesses that needed help. And so we started to acquire other people's businesses. And I think when I left 2011, after I broke the world record, we had acquired, I think, about 12 different businesses in the fitness industry and had done very, very well with those. And so, you know, they were moving into the their youth conditioning franchise, and then their boot camp franchise. Yeah. And I really didn't want to go into that model for some reason. You know, looking back, I'm not sure what the real decision was there. There was a lot going on in my life, but I decided, I think it was more about wanting to, being an entrepreneur, wanting to do my own thing. Yeah. And so I stepped away from them and started launching other fitness professionals. And bear in mind, this is all while I'm powerlifting. Yeah. But I started launching other fitness professionals, helping them launch their products online and things like that. I was learning from the internet marketing community, and I was seeing the internet marketing community consistently do, you know, $1 million plus launches, seven-figure launches. And that's all you'd hear about is these huge launches. But in the fitness industry, you know, it was a very rare thing to do a seven-figure launch. The majority of the time it was a couple of $100,000. And what I realized was that I was doing all this work, and my income was dependent on how successful the launch was, but the workload was all the same.
Yeah.
There wasn't any difference in what I did. It was just difference in what I made. That's when I decided, you know what, I'm going to go into the industry that is making all, you know, I'm hearing about all these big launches and things like that. And so I said, well, I want to go right to the top. I don't want to work my way through it. I just want to leapfrog and go right to the top. And I actually met Yannick Silver at a mastermind event that I was involved in. He came in as a guest speaker. I reached out, offered to help him.
I was going
to
say,
and then go from there.
This might link in, AJ. I was going to ask at some stage, you know, our Yoda question, who helped awaken your alpha? Would you say Yannick, or would you say someone slightly earlier in the journey?
I think Ryan Lee is really responsible for awakening the alpha.
Yeah.
I was always fascinated with success. And most people remember the show MTV Cribs. And I you know what it's like growing up in England. You do not see that stuff very often. Like you don't see the cars are 1 liter engine cars. You don't see like tanks driving around on the road.
Yeah.
And so that show in itself opened my eyes to things I'd never seen before. And it's funny, but that created a desire for wealth, or what I believe wealth was at the time. And then, you know, the success in sports, I was lucky enough to train with Jeannie Asher. She had a school of basketball. And so people had already gone from there to America. And a lot of my thought process is if someone else has already done it, then there's a way I can do it. If someone else can do it, why not me?
Yeah.
You know, the real scary thing is when you're doing the things that no one else has done. So once I had broke the world record and I was kind of in no man's land, that's when things are really in the unknown. But until then, there's always if someone's already done it, you can just model their success and follow that. And so when I knew that there was a way to make a lot of money, knowing there was a way, it was just a case of learning how to do that. And, you know, it's interesting how one event or one thing can just basically you're focused at, you're looking one way, one direction, and someone just kind of moves your head and shows you a different path. And you realize that it's not difficult. It's just different. And that's the hardest thing people can't get their head around, is being different. You know,
yeah.
It's like, well, that's not what society tells me it should be like. And it's like these rules that they create for themselves, they're all in their head. They're not real rules. They're just things that they've made up that, you know, that life should be a struggle, and that I should work 9 to 5. And if I want to make more, I've got to work harder and I got to work longer. And, you know, it's a grind. And there are all these rules they start creating for themselves. And I was lucky enough to see that there was a different path. Money is just like anything else. It's easy to acquire. It's easy to lose. Just like a relationship, easy to have a relationship, easy to you lose a relationship. It's easy to be successful and it's easy to fail. It's easy to win. It's easy to lose. And I look at life and everything as a game. It's a game, and we're playing this game. And if you look at a championship team, and I always go back to sports because that's my passion. Yeah. But if you look at a championship team, very rarely do you have an undefeated season. But just because you lose once in a while doesn't mean you can't win at the end. And it's all about it's all about having the self-discipline to delay the short-term gratification for the long-term gratification. And if you can look past the short-term failures, you can look past the short-term pain, suffering, whatever it is you have to do to get to where you want to go, if you can focus always on the end goal, then you'll be successful. I've always had to have something I'm shooting for in order to finish what I start. And so,
I completely agree, because like you say, if you don't have a destination in mind or you don't know where you're going, it doesn't matter what you do. You know, it's like the Alice in Wonderland. If you know which way should I go, or where do you want to get to? I don't know. But it doesn't matter then.
Exactly. But it's this belief system in my mind that it's literally you can do anything you set your mind out to it. It's just figuring out how to do it. And that's the game. But to understand that you are in charge, and that everything is a simple choice. It's really not complex, you know? And when we boil it down and you kind of look at some of the most successful teams, it's always, they talk about the fundamentals. It's the fundamentals of the game that wins. And that's the same in business, the same in relationships, the same in your spiritual journey. It's the fundamentals. It's the daily practices. It's the getting up every day and getting in the game versus sitting on the sidelines. And when you do that, and you do that consistently, you create momentum. When you create momentum, success just seems to follow. And it's almost like people talk about the state of flow. And I kind of look at it like that, you know, in the movie Finding Nemo, when they get in the strip stream.
Oh, yeah.
And Nemo's like swimming, and the turtles are there, and they say, you know, chill out, man, just relax. that's how when we get to where we're supposed to be and everything feels like it's going along, that's where we're at. And what happens is We get there and then we drop out of it and we freak out and we worry and we ride this roller coaster, and we let the roller coaster affect our emotions. We let the roller coaster affect our attitude and how we feel, when in reality, that's a normal occurrence. All of that's normal. So our state where we're at, how we feel, should never change. We should never be influenced by what's going on outside. It's all internal. And if you can control your internal emotions, that's how we continue to push forward. Because it doesn't, if you can, you know, not freak out in that moment, and you can stay calm and calculated, then you can move out of it quickly because you'll come up with a plan. But if you're freaking out, you're in the moment, you know, it's going to drag you down even further until you snap out of it. So the goal, like I said, is to end up having more wins than failures, and eventually, you know, limiting the failures to nearly none. But we're going to have these life lessons because that's how we progress and that's how we move forward.
Definitely. Right. Some awesome stuff there. Plenty of nuggets for people to take out. And we're going to mix it up here, mix up the pace and see if we get any interesting info here. This is the yin yang round, AJ. So I'm going to hit you up with a load of 50-50 options and you just go with your gut on this and we'll see where it takes us.
Cool.
Okay. Water ski or snow ski?
Water ski.
P90X or Insanity?
Insanity.
Okay. Pizza or pasta?
I got to be pizza.
Home cooked or dinner out?
Home cooked.
San Francisco or New York?
Oh, that's tough. I don't like San Francisco at all, so New York.
Oh, okay. James Bond or Jason Bourne?
James Bond.
Yeah, man, he's having a clean sweep. The people are okay. You're getting hunted, bear or shark?
Ooh, bear. I think I got a chance with a bear.
You're the only person I think who actually has got a chance. He's gone for the bear. Quality. Curry or roast dinner?
Oh, curry every time, curry.
Okay. Hot tub or sauna?
Hot tub.
Okay. With the curry answer, you're definitely from England. People might think roast dinner England, but I think more curry is actually probably
dinner. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. When you get out of the hot tub or sauna and you're going to go into the pool, dive in or bomb?
Oh, dive.
Nice.
I create too much of a splash with the bomb.
I think that, yeah, they'd be literally empty in the pool with people in it as well. Okay, dog or cat?
Dogs.
Good man. Okay, and then linked is, we're going to do the complete blank around, okay, where you have to complete the blanks. I'm not calling you anything offensive here. It's just the complete blank around. Okay, right. If I was ever to visit Southampton, I should... move to California. No.
This is Southampton. Oh, I guess check out West Key.
What is West Key? Is it a mall?
It's right on the ocean front.
Oh, I think I've actually been there randomly, but yeah, I barely knew it. It was by random opportunity. Okay. Your best friend would describe you as?
Loyal.
Last time you were drunk was?
Saturday.
What happened Saturday?
No, it wasn't Saturday. It was Thursday. It was last Thursday.
Midweek, like it. You're on your own schedule. It's all good.
Yeah. I work on the weekend, so my weeks get blended and blurred.
Okay. If you had to eat just one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Can I say curry? Or does it have to
be? Yeah, no. Definitely curry. Mike Barber is a curryaholic. I think that'd be his answer. When he's at uni, they had cheap curries up north a little bit, and yeah. It got out of hand. He's stunk. Okay, what is your favorite movie and why? It can be inspirational or it can just be plain stupid but funny. It's up to you.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels is one of my favorite movies. I think it's hilarious. And I think that all the actors in that, you know, it's just perfect. And the scene with the Irish gypsies, and it's funny because I remember watching that movie over here in high school with a group of friends, and I had to like translate the movie for them because they couldn't understand it. And I'm like, they're speaking in English, but you know, it's the way we speak the accents. But the movie itself is one of the best movies that was ever made.
The thing I like about it as well, I love it, is like the fact you say, it really kickstarted people like Vinnie Jones getting into Hollywood. And then obviously everyone knows Jason Statham now. I mean, back then it was just like, who's this guy? They've stuck in like a Commonwealth diver into a movie. It's just awesome. And Jason Statham is on my list for people I want to get on this podcast.
He's quite the alpha for sure.
Oh, man. Awesome. Awesome. Is there ever a moment, again, this is quite difficult to some people, especially if, I think for someone like yourself, because you're just constantly moving forward and like it's hard sometimes to stop and smell the roses and appreciate what you're doing. But is there ever a moment when you thought, I brought my A game today, like it went very well, you maybe outperformed what you thought you was capable of at the time?
No, I really struggled with this for a long time because I would achieve something and everyone, like, let's take the bodybuilding as the latest example. You know, I finished second at the show. And so I was pissed off.
Yeah.
I didn't win and I didn't come in my best. And everyone was congratulating me and saying, you know, how amazing the transformation is. And in my head, I'm like, man, you guys have some low standards, you know, because I set a precedent in my mind in terms of what I wanted to do. But I have something I do called the reverse graph. I learned it from Dan Sullivan. And basically what I do is I take check of my life. Where was I 2 years ago? Where am I today? And it's a daily journal and I write down what I'm grateful for. And those are the things that make me realize and kind of live in the now and understand that, man, you know, I do have an amazing life and it keeps me grounded and it stops a lot of the feeling as if I haven't made it or I've got to push harder. And that becomes a choice. Like for me to move forward, it's just a choice that I want to move forward versus I need to move forward. And that's how I operated for a long time, was this fear of that I need to move forward. I've got to be running. I've got to be running. Now I realize that, you know, I don't have to do anything. And that is very freeing, that I already have freedom. I already have the choice. I can make whatever choices I want. I was living in Columbus, Ohio in the snow, and now I live in San Diego where it's 70 degrees every day. So, nice. You know.
I think that's enough said. Awesome. If there was someone literally who was like, right, I got one of your old mates. I've got a couple of minutes. I see you're doing so well. Could you just give me, like, I struggle with my motivational mindset. I have a good idea or I'm doing well, and then I fall off the path and I'm back to square one and I keep doing this cycle. Have you got some, maybe some advice or tips for mindset and how you've managed to stay so sort of dead set on the paths that you decide?
Yeah, I think for me, it's just that unbreakable belief that the end result is going to be what you want. And so it's letting go in the moments where you don't have control. And it's a very hard thing to do. Human nature, we want to always be in charge and be in control. But some of the most freeing and most powerful things you can do is just let go and know that it's all going to work out. And when you have the ability to do that, you are in control of the situation, even though you let go, because you've understood that you've kind of surrendered, and now you can, it's like a weight's lifted off your shoulder and you can move forward. And so a lot of the times, the reason we when things go wrong, we freak out is because we're losing control. And it's this fear of not the unknown. And but if you have the belief, an unbreakable belief, that it's all going to work out the way you want it to, it's really not a fear of the unknown. It's more of an acceptance. If you can do that consistently, you move through problems quicker. You'll have failures. They won't go away. They'll never go away. The most successful people in the world fail daily. So taking the success and failures as a learning pattern and saying, okay, how do we go back and do this again in a different way? And, you know, if you look back, and it's always used, but, you know, Thomas Edison with the light bulb, he always says, you know, I didn't fail 10,000 ways. I discovered 10,000 times. I just discovered 10,000 ways not to build a light bulb.
I think what I like about stuff like that, like 10,000 failures straight away, when I'm going through failures like that, I'm thinking, this is good. Most people are going to drop out. Like, this means it's very hard to do and most people aren't going to bother. So, you know,
they always say the harder things get, the closer you are to your true meaning. And the resistance, the build of resistance, the bigger the resistance, the closer you are to hitting the home run, the closer you are to hitting the nail on the head. But most people turn and run in the resistance. It's those that fight through and power through that make it, and everyone says, wow, they got lucky, or, you know, there's always a reason why that person, and the truth is they just put their head down and they refuse to quit.
Definitely. And geez, there must have been some serious resistance when you were building up to that powerlifting world record. Yeah. We've made it to the alpha round now. So this is where you're going to give us all your best tips, resources, things you use on a daily basis, and recommendations. And we're going to start that off with you recommending maybe one or two key books that you think would really help those who are listening in.
The Great Work of Your Life, and it's by Stephen Cope. And that's just a phenomenal book about figuring out, you know, your purpose and what it is. And I think that most alpha males, the biggest thing with an alpha, or biggest thing in females too, is that we know we're here for a reason, and we're searching for what that reason is. And then another book I recommend, I always recommend this to everyone, is The War of Art. And that's by Stephen Pressfield. And that really gets into the resistance and gets into just turning pro, basically. He has another book, Turning Pro, but War of Art was the original one. But it's really about how to break through your barriers and your block.
Have you got a particularly high-tech resource that you use a lot and a very low-tech resource that you use almost on a daily basis?
The biggest thing I started doing low-tech wise is just scheduling. So my whole morning is scheduled out in terms of when I get up, when I eat, when I listen to audiobook, when I meditate, when I journal, it's all scheduled. And so I just use my phone for that, the calendar on my phone, and it's synced to the computer so that any interviews and stuff, it comes through on my phone. So hopefully I don't forget. A lot of times people feel like they don't have time or they don't have enough hours in the day. And most of it is just, we're not, the time we do have is not planned accordingly. And so when I hear people say, like, I can't read, I don't have time to read, I'm like, okay, so you probably have a commute, you probably travels to work or something. So let's get an audio book and you can go through a book a day almost. Yeah. If you don't want to read the entire book, you can get this, you know, Cliff Note resources that just audio, you know, 30 minutes and it's the entire book broken down for you. So there's ways around that. So that's really, you know, why scheduling to me is so important. It's such a low tech thing, so easy to do. Most people don't do it.
What was one of your biggest failures?
I have so many that so close to like bring them up. I think for me, the biggest failure has been like launching. When I launched my first online business, that was one of my biggest failures. I had success with it, but it then failed. And so I had this like immense high that now is, I'd hit a home run. I launched a product and, you know, made a little bit of money, but it was like my first time doing it. I'm like, you know, this is going to make me rich. And I had so much, I built so much on it. I just watched the business nosedive. And basically I put all the money I had into it. And, you know, I was at the end, I'm like looking around, like, what happened here? That was one of the hardest things I had to overcome, because that initiated this fear of trying to do stuff for myself and failing in my life. And so having the confidence to come back from that, I think, was a defining moment a little bit.
Okay, you've made it to our final question. This is the wake-up question. If you were to wake up tomorrow morning, AJ, and you still knew everything that we'd just talked about today, so you're still fully clued up, but you're starting from square one, and you had none of your contacts apart from your immediate family, what would you do in that first day, in that first week? You know, what would be a priority for you?
I think that the old school hustle has been lost by a lot of people. So, you know, if I didn't have any of my contacts, I would start just local. And I would find someone I could help, and I would talk to as many people as I could until I found that person I could help. And I would sell them an expensive package of basically probably training advice and, you know, personal training, nutrition help, all that stuff. Cause I'd say that's probably would be the easiest thing for me to sell someone, is that, cause the lifestyle changed there. And I'd get started like that. And then I would, from there, I'd build a referral system and just keep, get people in. But I think too many people, and I love the internet, and if I had a bankroll, I would set something up on the internet, drive traffic to it. But yeah, if I had nothing, I would go back to the old school, like go talk to people, man.
What is the best way people can connect with you, reach out to you, get hold of you?
I honestly, Facebook's the best way. Facebook.com, AJ Roberts.
This was good. Right. Who do you think I should interview next? And you know, there is no limits on this. Whether I can get them or not, it's another issue. So, you know, you can start at someone like Obama and you can come down to whoever. So who do you think? It could be a well-known person or it could be a completely off the radar.
Kevin Nations, guys like Garrett J. Wide and people who just own their space, you know, and they're proud of who they are and they're not worried about what other people think about them. And I think that's the real truth of being an alpha, is just being you. And when you can be you and you're not affected by everyone else, that's the place that we're all trying to get to.
Thank you for enduring, my enthusiastic friend. Awaken Your Alpha has only just been released into the wild. And to help it evolve into a fine beast, head over to...
Hey, stop right there, Dave. I want you to go straight to, I found a simpler way. Facebook.com/AwakenYourAlpha. That's the Facebook page, that'll have all the details. Back to you, Dave. Finish it off.
If you do, I will get Adam to big you up on the next show. Thank you, and see you on the next episode.